Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, August 25th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom, and glad to be back. On today's edition, Black Lives Matter and the State Fair, and railroads are reluctant to release their safety plans. Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd says he doesn't want an expensive door or other upgrades in the Capitol space designated for House members. His comments yesterday followed news reports last week that Dowd had pushed for $2 million in office space upgrades during the Capitol renovation. During a meeting of the Capitol Preservation Commission, Dowd denied those reports.
I do not support spending $15,000 on a door at this point. Apparently, we've missed the planning process and the bidding process to where that would have been able to have been included in the project at no cost, and that's certainly fine. I think the space works better with the door and the doorway, but ultimately not having it is perfectly fine with us at the House.
Dowd told DFL Governor Mark Dayton and other commission members that he won't take part in deciding how to spend the extra $2 million. Despite a backlash on social media, Black Lives Matter St. Paul is pressing ahead with plans to disrupt the Minnesota State Fair on Saturday. The group's event announcement prompted hundreds of opposing comments on social media just hours after it was made public. Organizer Rashad Turner says protesters will still meet at Hamlin Park and march north on Snelling Avenue to the fairgrounds.
We're taking a lot of heat, a lot of pushback, but if we're really fighting for justice, we have to just execute our plan and not be distracted by all of the other comments and other people's opinions, because we're fighting for something that if it was just as easy as, you know, getting a booth, these problems would have been fixed a long time ago.
State fair officials deny the group's allegations that their policies benefit white vendors and deny equal opportunity to minority groups. State Fair General Manager Jerry Hammer says the social media response shows that many people disagree with the group's tactics.
The responses are universally opposed to this, and you know, look at the two biggest splashes they've made now. One, they went after Christmas shoppers at Mall of America, and now the State Fair. So I guess the tone of the responses shouldn't be much of a surprise, but apparently that's what they want.
As of Monday evening, 638 people indicated on Facebook that they plan to join the effort to disrupt traffic outside the fairgrounds. The search firm that helped the University of Minnesota hire Norwood Teague is pushing back against the notion that it didn't do enough to investigate the U's former athletic director. Tim Post reports.
An attorney for Parker Executive Search in Atlanta sent a letter to University of Minnesota President Eric Kaler late last week. It takes issue with Kaler's suggestion to NPR News last week that a background check by the firm should have turned up a 2012 gender discrimination claim against Teague when he was athletic director at Virginia Commonwealth University. Teague resigned his position at the U of M on August 7th after admitting he'd sexually harassed two female employees at the U. Parker's attorney says the VCU complaint against Teague was filed after the firm completed its background check process and after Teague was hired by the U. President Kaler has said the U will not likely use Parker's services as it begins the search for a new athletic director. Tim Post, Minnesota Public Radio News.
More than 300,000 Minnesotans live within a half mile of railroad tracks that carry crude oil and other hazardous materials. But almost none of those people have been able to see emergency response plans that the railroads were required to submit by July 1st. Even legislators who pass the requirement can't get access because of data privacy objections raised by the railroads. And some say that makes it impossible to judge whether the plans would work. Tim Pugmire has more on that story.
The law required railroads to show who would respond to an emergency, how they would respond, and what kind of training they received. The prevention and response plans must also include location-specific descriptions of the worst-case discharge scenarios. So far, only authorized local emergency officials have been allowed to review the plans that five railroads submitted to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. One of the railroads objecting to a public release is the Twin Cities and Western Railroad. Company President Mark Wegner said the plans contain sensitive security information.
We want the emergency responders to know this information, obviously. We train with them, etc. But to put it out into the public domain is like giving a terrorist a roadmap on how to do something bad.
Burlington Northern Santa Fe spokesperson Amy McBeth said in a written statement that the company's plan contains security-sensitive, business confidential, and personal employee information. The MPCA late last week released the redacted plans of BNSF and Canadian National. Dave Verhasselt, communications director for the MPCA, said discussions about making the plans public are continuing with the railroads.
We have different requests from different railroads for what data is public, what data is non-public. So our legal advisors are speaking with their legal advisors and literally going through hundreds of pages of documents determining what we can agree on as public versus non-public.
Despite the intention to hold back the plans from the public, in response to a data practices request, NPR News recently received the unredacted plans submitted by Canadian National, Canadian Pacific, and Union Pacific. Those plans identified bridges over the St. Louis, Mississippi, and St. Croix rivers as the locations of hypothetical worst-case scenarios. The worst cases were deleted from the public versions of the BNSF and CN plans. DFL Representative Frank Hornstein of Minneapolis, the chief sponsor of the 2014 legislation, said he wants the reports more widely accessible.
The whole purpose of doing a law that we passed in 2014 was to make sure that this kinds of information was updated to address the growing concerns that people have about oil and ethanol trains in their communities and the safety issues, but to make that information available to the public.
Hornstein said he was able to briefly view the plans last month at the MPCA, but he hasn't been allowed to see them since. Hornstein said the plans at the time looked incomplete and inconsistent.
Some were more extensive than others. I did notice that there were certainly areas that did not appear to be following the format and the intention of the law as we passed it.
Judson Freed, Ramsey County's Director of Emergency Management and Homeland Security, said he was allowed to review all five railroad plans through a secure state website. He was not allowed to print copies to share with his staff. Still, Freed said the information was helpful.
It's far from a perfect thing, but it is at least I've been able to read the plans now. We can validate that our Ramsey County high hazard flammable train plan is in line with what the railroads are doing.
Railroad safety advocates are also pushing for access. Kathy Velasquez Eberhardt, a spokesperson for the group Citizens Acting for Rail Safety, said people who live and work near train tracks need proof that the railroads are prepared.
These are really dangerous materials moving through, and my understanding is that it's really hard to be ready. Because they are so dangerous.
Eberhardt and Hornstein say they'll continue to press the railroads, as well as the MPCA, for release of all the plans. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.